All right, good afternoon, everybody. My name's Pete Hofsoil with Davenport University in Michigan, and I welcome you to Saving Money and Energy by Ditching PCs. So we'll be talking about VDI today, is my guess. And to carry on the discussion is Parmeet Chadha with PaynoLogic and Dimitri Petropoulos with the University of Arizona, Joel Rahn with Concordia University, Texas, and Megan Smith with Weiss. So we'll let them carry on. I got just a couple homework things for you guys here. Don't forget, if you can get a chance to fill out the evaluation, it's a link on the main EDUCAUSE page. You'll probably get an email to remind you. This is your conference. You guys decide what happens here. Your feedback is key to making the conference better every time we come back. It's already awesome. It can always be even better than that. Weiss has also decided to do a drawing for this session. So if you have a card, fill it out, and they'll do the drawing right at the end. And then you need to stick, if you win the drawing, you need to meet with the Weiss people in the back there. If you don't have a card, they can get you one. And you need to talk to them if you win, because they need your address to ship it to you.
What do you win?
What do you win? You win a, I don't know, what do you win? It's a thin client.
You win a Weiss thin laptop.
A Weiss thin laptop. Awesome. I hope I win.
Do your survey.
Okay, thanks, guys, and have a great session.
So we're going to divide this up into two parts. And so my name is Joel Rahn. I'm from Concordia University in Texas. We're a small Christian university located in Austin. We also have a couple of satellite sites out in various cities in Texas as well. Our current enrollment is 2,573 students. So as you can see, we're still pretty small. How many of you would be at a small university, maybe 10,000 or less? Larger university, over 10? Fairly evenly split. And, of course, we've got a nice large university here and a small university, so you can get some of the different viewpoints here. So we first started considering virtualization back in 2006 as we were going through some changes on campus. It was about that time that the Regents voted to look at relocation of our entire campus. So we took a look at that and said we need to look at some possibilities and some possible changes to make computing easier, use our manpower the best way. And so some of our goals as we started looking at virtualization, we definitely wanted to manage the costs, reduce the manpower, and make sure that our ongoing maintenance costs were minimized. We wanted to manage the risk. Of course, at that time, there were a number of incidents that are always continuing. We wanted to manage our data, manage the students' data, protect them, and also make sure we manage the hardware so, you know, it doesn't walk away on its own 2 feet. We wanted to make sure our personnel were taken care of and that we could manage this even for remote sites. Most of our IT people, in fact, all of our IT people are on the main site, so supporting our sites in San Antonio, Fort Worth, if they had issues, it was a matter of us going there and taking care of things if it was important enough, or were there fixes we could find. Looking at the solution, we wanted to make sure that we would be able to remotely manage and take care of these locations as well. We also wanted some consistency with the small staff. We want to make sure that we have this, some very similar things going on between our server virtualization and virtual desktop solutions. And so we wanted something that wouldn't cause us to have to learn multiple systems. And then we wanted to make sure that we were staying green as well. This especially became important on our new campus as we took a look at that, make sure we manage our electronic waste, make sure we take care of power needs and keep those managed as well. So as we looked at our situation back then, in 2006, our network didn't have not too much of a backbone. It was a pretty good backbone for our size, but it could have been better, and we improved that to 2010. with the move to the new campus. For our servers on campus that were starting to get a little bit old, we needed a way to look at virtualizing some of those. Some of the new servers, of course, were much more powerful than we needed, especially being a small campus. And we wanted to make sure that we included that, not only that we were virtualizing the servers, but we also wanted to make sure we have had a quality server room. And the new location had was previously owned by an oil research firm, so they had an excellent data center. We scaled it down to our needs and still managed to keep it in a very usable format. At the time, we were using desktops for both staff and labs, and as desktops age, you know how much maintenance increases on those. We still have desktops for staff, but in the labs now we have primarily pano boxes, pano devices. We use faculty laptops, so every full-time faculty member on campus has a laptop, and they use that in the classroom, in the office, as well as at home for their use. And then the phone system is just a little tag on, so you know a little bit about what we were doing there. The various solutions we looked at a lot of different solutions, from traditional, just the desktop refresh, get rid of the old ones, let's put in new ones. That actually we used to kind of gauge our budget for what we were doing. ClearCube is has a remote system as well. Basically, the desktop moves into the server room. And that allows some remote access there. The full desktop with remote network boots, we looked at a solution there as well. Citrix and Microsoft, other vendors for that network. And then VMware became one of our primary places we looked at for the virtual desktop solution, primarily because we also had a sister school that was using it, and we could leverage some of their knowledge that they've been using it as well. So the problems with the desktop refreshes we looked at is we would have the same old problems after 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. We would have to replace them. So we got a ballpark figure from them that we could work with and plan out the budget on. The remote boot pretty much ended up with the same desktops, pull out the hard drive, and it boots over the network. That really wasn't a solution from us because there were still too many moving parts. ClearCube basically moved the desktops into the server room, so that decreased a lot of the risk of storage, but it still required some maintenance and had a lot of vendor support that we needed, proprietary information that we would have had to have. VMware became our choice, and so as we looked at the VMware, we wanted to make sure that we had either some thin clients or zero clients. And as we looked at those, we decided to go with the zero clients. The power usage was very similar. The zero clients seemed to have a minimal amount of support. I know the thin clients had very little support needed for them as well. But basically, everything can be managed from basically any location. So some of the things that we looked at, we wanted to keep that total cost of ownership down, keep that management very simple. We can manage it anywhere, as we look into those notes down below. At one point in time, we have had a power supply stolen, but that's a whole lot less than getting a desktop stolen, so and replacing that. And our power usage went from about 300 watts per desktop unit down to about 5 watts for the panel box in the room, which leaves us a pretty decent amount of power savings in the server room for any power that server needs as well. So our first phase that we went into, we had a very short timeline to get it deployed. A lot of the time was spent learning how to get the VMware running. We had not actually used that ourselves, so we were experimenting with that, trying to figure out what ways were best to get that rolled out. So we had that running. We also had another major project running on with our small staff as well at the same time, which also needed the server virtualization, and so we were working on our Blackboard upgrade and deploy at the same time. So we had a kind of split team. But we were able to get that out within 45 days of the day the PO went out and get that up and running. We only had the budget for about 50 devices at the time, so we've rolled that out into a number of computer labs for ourselves. a couple of servers to run both those labs and some key servers on campus, including those Blackboard servers that we were using, that we had changed over to. One of the things we also wanted to do is look at it as an employee workstation as well, and it looks like it will be a very viable employee workstation solution for us as well. It's not going to work for everybody, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. They also have a panel remote system that it's basically a USB drive you plug into your desktop or laptop, and it connects you into your panel, your virtual desktop, on site. And so that can help keep our data secure if we have staff members that need to work from home, which we have had recently. So we're looking at getting that further out as well. That one, we're still testing that in progress. Our next stage, and we're kind of in progress on some of these things, we've recently purchased a SAN, so we'll have be able to do some of the failover that we need to and want to with the VMware product, so that if one server goes down, we're not going to lose our services at all, or for a very brief time. We still need to retire all of our old servers. We've retired some of them, but we're still in the process on a few of the others. And we need to do some optimization on some of our VDI to use the best practices available. As time and budget permits, we'll be purchasing more Pano devices as the need and availability comes out. So some future plans that we're going to be doing, I see us moving to more Panos for the employees. Most of the employees don't need the full desktops that they have, and so we can definitely save some money by going to some virtual desktops for them instead, and that will help keep that data secure as well. One of the nice things is on those satellite sites is we can also put that local server in at the satellite site and move some of the employees and have some a local virtual server there as well to reduce some of the network traffic that's currently running over our networks and over the internet. We do have one lab that still needs to be moved over to VDI, so we're working on that as well as time and budget permits. And then the staff changeover. So what's happening that we can't do with VDI right now? Still looking at a number of high-end staff users that can't use that VDI because of high video requirements for their software that they're using. And then we want to keep that out of classrooms. Currently, we're using video playing from the desktop to the projectors, and so that's not an ideal solution at this point in time. And then the faculty laptops, we need that mobility for them so that they can do their jobs at home in the classroom and in their office and transfer that data. So some of the ongoing costs that we've been dealing with, Microsoft, of course, wants to be paid for some reason. They like having that licensing. So we have to have those ongoing costs. We have some VMware maintenance fees, and then we also do have some ongoing costs for the Pano devices as well to maintain that in the server software. So we have seen quite a bit of savings from the 50 devices. Don't have that quantified at this point in time, but we'll be looking for more power savings in the future as we roll more of these out. So current benefits that we've been going through, the help desk, our help desk has had a reduced need to get out and see people in the computer labs, and so they don't have to go out and replace a fan, replace a hard drive and do that. So that's been very nice to have that. Also reduces the need for troubleshooting in the room. Pretty much the most troubleshooting the Pano devices need is unplug it and replug it back in, and then it will reconnect back up. There is some server-side management that we can do, and we're doing that through websites and through the VMware interfaces as well, vSphere. So the redeploy time of a computer lab is much less time working and getting the image out to all of the machines now, fairly quick on that. And, of course, it has reduced our need for power, space as well. The panel boxes are smaller than my hand, it's a little bit larger than my fist. So it definitely much smaller there. And hopefully we can extend the life of some of our other equipment, like monitors and things like that, and continue to use them to the end of their life rather than switching them out at the time we switch out a desktop. So some of the improvements we need to look at and continue to work on is making sure that we're following the best practices of both Pano and VMware. Some cross-training of personnel. We actually lost a person, our primary person who was doing the Pano devices and management, and so we had an issue come up in the labs, and, well, it took a couple of us to figure out what we were doing, but we had enough cross-training to figure it out between the three of us, but it took a little bit longer than it should have, so we need to do a little bit more cross-training there. One of the nice benefits that Pano has come out is being able to do the dual screen, which a number of our staff are using and enjoy so that they can switch back and forth between monitors. And we need to re-examine our domain security and make sure that it's optimized for the Pano, for the VMware situation that we currently have. So any brief questions for me before we hand it over to Weiss? Security? Primarily, the Pano remote is just a small USB device. It works through a web interface, but you basically plug it into your desktop and at home, and it connects up and gives you the virtual desktop that you've been working on in your office.
The other question is,
right now, the answer is they're not talking to each other. No, on the student side, we have our network drive, and all of our students pretty much saved directly, are mapped through the domain security to the network drive, and so they save directly to the network drive. With the SAN, we hope to also virtualize some of the network storage, the images that we have of the desktops, so that when one goes down, it can come up on a different server instead of the server it may have been on. Okay, yeah, the failover. Redeploying their talents. Well, we often feel a little bit overloaded, and so we've been able to do a few more of the projects that we've had on our back burners, but and been able to do a few more things with that. But as I said, we lost our primary person who was doing that, so we don't have that right now. So, I mean, basically, his time was pretty much sucked into other desktop and laptop maintenance because of growth on our university. We pretty much told them that we were going along with this. We did have to sell it to our VP, I think he took that pretty well. I think he liked the concept once I think he had it explained to him. So, and he's smiling at me right now. He was our main person that was going to call us on it if we were talking. So,
let me just add one more thing regarding your first question on Pano Remote. One of the reasons why we implemented this as essentially a mobile option for folks who either need to work from home or when you're on the road is to be able to leverage all the investment you will make in building your virtual desktop infrastructure in the first place. So that entire VDI infrastructure, you can access that through this particular Pano device when you're in the office. But when you're on the road, you can have access to the same virtual machine and get all the benefits in terms of data security, backup, everything that VDI brings to the table, and be able to access that securely through this remote key without actually requiring any kind of VPN configuration. One of the things that we found was, from an end-user perspective, particularly if it's student community or faculty and so on, for them to understand the nuances of they need to set up a VPN, what the hell is a VPN? So basically overcome all those problems by having a seamless, easy-to-use solution. You take this key today, plug into any internet-connected device, and in a secure fashion, you will be able to access your virtual machine no matter where it's residing in the data center.
Yes.
Do you ever consider the ideal cost if you lose it on the road or anything? I mean, how much?
If it's lost, the replacement, I believe, is about $30-$40 for the panel remote. And through a website, we can go in and very easily deactivate that particular remote, so security can be taken care of very quickly as well.
Yes, we
would need the notification. So I'm going to ask you to hold questions further, and we're going to hand it over to Weiss so that they get their time here as well, and University of Arizona.
I'm from the University of Arizona. My name is Dimitri Petropoulos, and we are a large university. We have 40,000 students. We have 40,000 students on campus. And we have 6,000 residents in our residence halls, which is the department that I actually work for. And what we've done is, eventually, we have a green initiative that was given to us on campus, where everyone on campus needed to find a way to make their departments more environmentally friendly and save money. And we had been working on a server virtualization project, and we were meeting a fair amount of resistance because of the startup cost of our virtual infrastructure. And then luckily, the Green Initiative came up to on campus, which allowed us to push our virtual infrastructure forward on.
That's an example of why you shouldn't use desktops and PCs.
Ever. Okay, there we go. There's our campus. Here's our my residence life department. We have 250 student employees, a bunch of full-time employees, 22 buildings, each one with an office in it, satellite offices with multiple computers, workstations, copiers, two separate server rooms on opposite ends of campus that are now synced together using VMware's SRM, and sand sinking, so we can lose either one of our server rooms and not go offline. So prior to 2007, our residence halls had laptops at the front desk that the students used. These were XP laptops that were locked down with a deep freeze for the most part. But what we found is that in order to do maintenance on these laptops, we could do it once a year. There was no automatic maintenance that we had set up for these laptops. There was no central management. There was no way to help them out. And they are much more expensive to replace than the thin clients that they were eventually replaced with. The desktop computers for all of our employees were made from, I don't know if you guys have heard of Newegg.com. We bought all of our hardware from there and built them by hand, one at a time. And it was painful. There was no warranty. There was no anything to support these computers, but they were cheap. Also, there was no way for our staff to work from home. You could VPN in, and you could then get to email, but you couldn't access your files or anything else. And again, we had no centralized management. We had no warranties on our servers. Our desktop and laptops failed at an amazing rate, and our IT requirements were pretty stiff, trying to keep the machines together, band-aiding them. It was a nightmare. I mean, it was horrible. And then our Green Computing Initiative came through campus, and the focus was on servers. And what we figured out as part of that is there are these great little things called thin clients. And if you're virtualizing your servers, all of a sudden you have these servers that are left over and didn't have a purpose anymore. So we started investigating terminal services and thin clients. And we found that the benefits were lower total cost ownership, less time spent repairing desktops, because there aren't any desktops, and more time for me to develop new solutions, new things for our users and for our students, because now I have time and I'm not replacing hard drives and power supplies. But the big challenge was I had no idea how to virtualize a server. I had no idea what I was doing with that. And, of course, selling management that I'm going to buy $250,000 worth of hardware. They did not like that idea. So, long story short, we ended up with a pilot program, and the pilot program was to replace those front desk laptops. And then we expanded a little bit, have a classroom in a box that we can take anywhere on campus, and then replaced my computer with a Thin Client. All of my IT staff now runs on Thin Clients, in addition to HR, accounting, and our directors as well. So, again, these laptops, the bane of my existence. My favorite story is when I was actually working at the front tech support. So I was answering the phones. I got a call from a student at the front desk who let me know that the laptop just wouldn't turn on and there's no way they could get it to work. So I did basic troubleshooting and eventually I had to go pick up the laptop. When I brought the laptop back, it was dead. I started pulling parts out of it to see what I could find, and all of a sudden I started to smell Italian dressing. And I pulled the hard drive out, and it's covered in olive oil and oregano and pepper. So, I mean, it's dead. It was destroyed. I called the student back up, and I was asking them, so, do you know anyone who was having a salad or a sandwich by the desk? I was like, oh, yeah, I was using the laptop as my table. So the laptop was hosed. That was another $2,000 we had to spend. So we got rid of those laptops, replaced them with Thin Clients, specifically the Wise Thin Clients. And we created units, basically, where the Thin Client was screwed to the back of the monitor. It's a single unit we can drop on a desk anywhere. And it works on our network, and it ties to terminal servers. This actually ended up being a great success, and we were asked to pursue other endeavors involving the Thin Client terminal server relationship. So the next thing we did is we worked on a classroom in a box, because in our main office we have conference rooms that are used for classes for internal staff and for students. And what we were doing is using more of those laptops that were front desk laptops. And, again, they were not updated. They were slow. People did not like them. So we worked on creating these cases that held the Thin Clients and everything we needed to get them running, and they ran on Wi-Fi. So here are these custom cut cases that I had made that can fit four Thin Clients, the keyboards and the mice associated with them, and all the power and cables and the Wi-Fi adapters. Here they are full. They have 17-inch monitors and everything you need. And here's our complete set. So we can set up a classroom now anywhere on campus where Wi-Fi can reach. We have classrooms that can be set up. We put them in the student union for registration during new housing months. And from there, we expanded to the rest of our department. We used load-balanced 2003 terminal servers. We pushed it out to IT, and our IT guys actually really like it. They can work from home. They don't like that, but they can help us that way. A couple challenges were multi-monitor users. What we found is that Wise has dual DVI Thin Clients, so you can have nice high-resolution, crisp monitors on a Thin Client, and it's supported through remote desktop. What we also found is that there's some applications that only two or three people need access to. And that's a big challenge in the terminal server environment. But thankfully, Microsoft bought a company who fixed that, and they have AppV. So now we can give an application that two people need specifically to them, keep licensing in check, but they're still on our terminal server environment. And again, for high-performance users, we have been vacillating between different solutions. We initially started with VMware VDI. And what we found is that the cost of storage for those images is very, very high in comparison with the terminal servers or even desktops at that point. So what we looked at is a solution using Wise Streaming Manager, which takes a Thin Client and moves the hard drive traffic into the data center but keeps the processing on the client. So you get normal desktop speeds, but you still have the security and manageability of the Thin Clients. And now the biggest challenge is our higher education staff. We would like to replace all of our computers with Thin Clients, and we're very, very close. But our big challenge is video and peripherals. And we, again, are trying to figure out the best way to provide all the functionality that our users need while still maintaining the security and the cost benefits of the Thin Client environment. What we're doing right now is we have ThinOS workstations running with Wise TCX, which is a multimedia accelerator for remote desktop. And for other users, we're using Wise Streaming Manager for individuals using AutoCAD and Photoshop that need that local processing and video. They're using the Wise Streaming Manager. And this is my favorite story. as part of this whole green initiative, campus started auditing everyone. And they wanted to audit us for our electronic door access for our dorms because the students are safety is number one priority. But because our doors are controlled by a server in our server room, all of a sudden our entire infrastructure came into scope of this audit. And what we found is that between the terminal server environment, the server virtualization, and the Think clients, we were the most secure department on campus. We were the only one that passed this security audit the first time around. And if it wasn't for the Think client infrastructure, the terminal servers, we could not have done that. And then, of course, we got audited right after another audit, and this was for credit card compliance, and we passed that one with flying colors as well. We passed. So, big, big thing when we're talking about virtual desktops and Think clients, not everyone can have the same solution. You have to have a tailored solution for your different users, your task workers, your knowledge workers, your performance workers. They all need a different solution. Not everyone can use the same thing. But no matter what you choose, you'll find that there's drastic cost reductions in repairs and maintenance and IT staff time. The interesting thing is we no longer do desktop support. We now do user session support because everything we can do is done from our desks. We can remote into someone's session, figure out what's wrong, and if they're having trouble connecting, they just restart the client and they're back working again. And all the work is saved in the server room. A woman in the department used to send out emails anytime there was a storm saying, don't forget to save your work. And after we switched over to this solution, she doesn't send them anymore because you don't lose your work. Your computer can lose power and everything's safe in the data center. And as a fringe benefit, of course, we have the power savings of Think clients over PCs. And security is the number one thing for us anyway. I'm going to go to you.
If you have any questions first.
Do you have any questions for me? About how we did anything or?
Sorry if I missed it on the slide, but how many servers did you put people out of running on that end?
Sure, I'll repeat the question. That was how many servers do we have running on the back end to support all of this? We have three ESX hosts that host our entire domain, our entire department. We have four staff terminal servers, which are old boxes that we've repurposed as terminal servers. So we have a total of seven servers now in our data center that run our entire department.
40,000.
No, I'm just the residence life department.
Oh.
So just for our 6,000 residents and our staff.
I believe that was on the WISE website.
Actually, this slide should be on the WISE website, so it can be all that information's up there. Well, because we combined it with a server virtualization project, the savings were massive. We had a single rack that was full to the brim, and there was actually servers sitting on top of the rack that weren't bolted into anything because we were running out of room. Once we did the server virtualization project, we condensed that down to three servers, three 1U Dell servers. So even if we use more power in the SAN than we did on two computers, we've chewed up all that extra power from getting rid of all those extra servers. The question was, browsers have a lot of plugins, and did that cause any problems for us in user support? And what we've done on our terminal servers is we've installed Flash and Shockwave and QuickTime and everything that most people would need. And in the event that there's an extra feature that someone needs that we can't provide for everyone at once, we use AppV. We can bundle plugins into Internet Explorer using AppV. Right now, we are still working our way through it. We initially tried to give everyone the same solution, and we found that that didn't work. So we're moving back a little bit, trying to find a different way to provide video. One way is using the Think Client extensions from WISE, which does flash acceleration. So the flash processing happens in combination on the server and the Think Client, which helps quite a bit. There's also the streaming manager, where all the processing happens locally on the client, but the hard drive traffic is still in the data center. So if that machine is stolen or damaged, you don't lose anything. Nothing is taken away from you. And that's how we're trying to get around the peripheral issue and the videos, because terminal services and VDI just aren't designed to do video quite yet.
Yeah,
So the question was, are we having any manageability issues with terminal services? Are we looking at Citrix or VMware for any of those kind of solutions? And we did look at VMware VDI and found that the overhead involved in managing those independent desktops was much higher than it is on the terminal servers. Because we only have four terminal servers, let's say we wanted to upgrade from Office 2003 to Office 2007. Instead of installing it on my 150 desktops, I installed it four times, and everyone got the upgrade all at once. And that's the economies of scale that you get with terminal services can do that for you.
But if you look at FinApp and XenApp rather than full terminal services?
Well, we use...
Or VDI.
I'm not a huge proponent of VDI. I like terminal services and the ability to condense people onto servers in that way. But when we need applications for one or two people, XenApp is the same idea as AppV or ThinApp. They're all the same kind of idea. We just chose to go with AppV because it's included in our terminal services cal, so it was a free product for us to use.
Yeah, you can connect to XenApp from a thin
client. Yes, you can.
You can't do with AppV.
But AppV runs inside the terminal server session. I have yet to find an application that I can't virtualize in AppV. The ones that I've tried, I have not run into an issue with.
Well, we've had a few issues with AppV.
So. Anything else?
How many students, again, do you have in your residence?
6,000 students in our residence halls. We're building two new buildings right now, and that'll add another 1,000 or 1,100 students in the fall of next year. Yes, it's all Windows-based PCs. If there's no other questions, I'll turn it over to Megan to go over her slides.
Thanks, Dorothy. Can you hear me okay? My name's Megan Smith. I'm with Wise Technology, and I wanted just to reiterate a couple of the key messaging points that Dimitri made today on thin client, server-based computing, VDI, whatever the particular flavor is that works in your environment. This first slide here really just encapsulates what we find working with external analysts, whether it's IDC or Gartner, using and going out and speaking to actual Wise customers in the space and the cost savings that they have recognized in their environments, whether it's acquisition, whether it is manageability. That's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, everybody. Then you're paroled. Whether it's manageability, scalability, security, it really doesn't matter what the enterprise is that you live in, whether it's education, financial services, transportation, manufacturing. The technology today that we see out in the marketplace really is lending all of those benefits and reductions, whether it's in power consumption, IT manpower time, the length of the lifetime of the device. We're seeing it really now take speed in educational environment. A lot of because of the back-end technologies have gotten to the maturation point where you can roll them out in an educational environment, which has a lot of eccentricities given multimedia, a wide variety of applications that you don't typically find in your general enterprises. Wise, the point that we wanted to make today is that Dimitri had a point in his slide where he's not able to use one particular solution across the entire residence life division at U of A. So we've got mobile thin clients, we've got flexible high-end power thin clients that might be running an embedded OS, we have our Xero clients for Citrix, for Microsoft, and for VMware, and we've got cloud computing solutions. Our point is we can front-end whatever that back-end technology is that you have, whether that's somebody being stationary, moving around an environment with a desktop unit on a cart of some sort. Dimitri showed you the solution that they created specifically for their environment, or if it's with a laptop user. So green initiatives, and every manufacturer that's ever going to stand in front of you will tell you that they contribute to the better good and green. We really do in the thin computing space. The devices are lead-free, they're stateless, they're fanless, they're diskless, they're convection-cooled, there's no spinning media, there's no moving parts. Their lifetime span themselves is typically 2 to 3 times that of a PC. A lot of that is because there is no moving parts. And you've moved those mission-critical pieces into the data center, and that thin client should be something that is a set-it-and-forget-it type of solution, like the infomercials say, the Ronco, set-it-and-forget-it. So what we show up here, and all the companies that are in the thin client space have a great story. You really are seeing significant reductions in power savings alone. And we encourage all of our customers, I happen to live here in Southern California, but we encourage customers to sit down with their power companies before they do a virtualization project, starting in the server room, going out to the desktop. If you sit down and do some benchmarking on your power consumption statistics, they'll come back at a predefined time later, and they're writing rebate checks. So IT organizations aren't typically considered a profit center to a company or to an educational institution. It's a cost center. This is a great hero moment for any company, whether you're public or private sector, to be able to go back to your management and say, if we go forward with this initiative, we're not only going to be good green citizens, but we're going to reduce some of our basic high-end costs to boot. So, we have got great data on our website, as well as some external links to Gartner, IDC, Forrester, and Alinion, which is an ROI tool company that Wise works with, where you can do those calculations on your own. And here's just a small sampling, because it wouldn't be a vendor presentation unless we told you who's buying Wise products today. This is just a sampling of K through 12, higher ed, community colleges, vocational institutions. We've got some really interesting stories. We've got a customer in South Africa that's deployed over 50,000 seats of Wise Streaming Manager. That's not my territory, obviously. I'm the Western U.S. But you're going to see very distinct and different environments, small, medium, and large, K through 12, lots of multimedia, lots of VoTech, lots of student labs that rotate hour on hour. So we encourage you, if this is an area that you haven't looked at before, take another look at it. This is a wholesale difference from 12, 18 months ago in terms of capabilities at the desktop in the server room. So with that, if you have any questions, we'll take those now. I think that now we're going to have an open panel for the next 10 minutes or so. 5 minutes, I'm told. Great. Any questions for Wise specifically? So the question is, have we ever done a cost analysis of a thin client versus a netbook? So not specifically, but what I would tell you is that there's a link on our website where you can, and there was an earlier slide that had it. Wise partnered with a company called Alinion, very sophisticated company out of the South that does ROI calculators. So our ROI calculator, you could put in a variety of different desktop virtualization infrastructures, terminal services, and then you can back-end it against a bunch of different Wise types of thin clients. We do have our own version of a netbook. It's called the X90. It's a netbook-sized device, runs Windows Embedded Standard on it, 802.11b GNN. It's got a 1.3 megapixel camera in it. I think we have them. Oh, my lovely Vanna White back here. Chris has one in his hands. That's, I believe, our drawing product today, if you were kind enough to fill out a survey. So that's our version of a netbook. That has an average battery life of about 8 hours, and I think the power consumption wattage is about, is it 14.2? It's in the 14 watt range. So are you talking about the acquisition or the lifetime of the device versus a PC? Right. Well, you're right. The netbook versus your traditional laptop is going to be significantly less expensive. We've all seen that. You've all walked into Staples, seen the anywhere from $199 to $699 for a netbook. So you're right. They are going to be less expensive. And I have customers say, well, what's the difference between your, you know, thin laptop and a netbook? Seems kind of like smoke and mirrors, right? The difference is still from a security standpoint. There's nothing local on this. So if it does get stolen, you don't have to go through. Somebody asked earlier about, has anybody done analysis on theft and security? We do have a lot of customers that go through that exercise. I can tell you, Qualcomm in San Diego, they get charged $5,000 every time they have a theft of a mobile device because they have to go through and do extensive forensics on where the device was, what was on it, what was the caliber of the employee with it. So not a specific comparison, but it's one that warrants taking a look at.
Megan, if I may add, so the cost question is something that Pano has been looking at as well. Obviously, there are fantastic benefits from an OPEX perspective when you virtualize your desktop. The key barrier has been how can you disrupt the upfront cost or CAPEX as well when it comes to virtualizing your desktop. So to that end, PanoLogic actually announced a product a couple of months ago. It's a bundled product called Pano Express, which gives you 50 Pano units like this, along with a back-end server appliance, direct attached storage, and all the software you need, which means VMware software, Windows licenses, and PanoLogic software all in, pre-bundled, pre-deployed, pre-configured for less than $25K. That works out to $489 all in per desktop. Okay, so that's the price point, the $500 barrier that we have breached all in with that product, with the intent to also look at the CapEx side of the equation. As a matter of fact, that's where we are getting a significant amount of traction, it being especially the shops where they do not have existing virtualization infrastructure. This comes all predefined, pre-configured, and deployable, including the back end.
That's already have license agreement.
Yeah, so for that, there is obviously a panel system product. That's where you will buy that product and deploy in your existing virtualization infrastructure. But if you don't have one, this bundled solution gives you all-in 50 units at a time. Okay, and the price point, again, is the key barrier that we're trying to breach there, below 500.
Any other questions? Did everybody fill out their survey? Brett, Anita, are you guys going to collect them?
Yeah, if you pass them towards the center, we can pick them up quick.
And I think are we doing a drawing now?
Yeah, let's.
Oh, so you have to stick around for a second if you're handing one in and you're interested in winning one, apparently.